Amen. We're going to read from the Old Testament and the New Testament this morning. We're going to read these verses all together. So the words will be on the screen, and I want us all to join in. We're going to read from Isaiah 65, verse 17, and then we're going to read from Revelation 21, five verses there, seeing that the promise God made to his people in the Old Testament fulfilled in the New. So we're going to read Isaiah 65, verse 17, and the words are on the screen. And we read these words all together. It says, "See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord." And then we read from Revelation 21, the first five verses. There, this wonderful hope of heaven that we have. Revelation 21 verse 1 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' Then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.'" Amen. Do take a seat. And we're going to think for a few moments about those verses at the start of Revelation 21 that we read earlier. Hands up if you like looking forward to things. No one likes looking forward to things. Hands up if you like looking forward to things. Half of you still don't like looking forward to things. That's a real shame. What kind of things do you get excited about? Birthdays? Holidays? Christmas? Seeing grandparents? Sports matches, whatever time of day they might be, or night. These are all wonderful things, aren't they? Have you ever counted down the days until something special happens? Counting down how many sleeps are left until something exciting. Well, that special day arrives, doesn't it? But does it last forever? No, it doesn't last forever, does it? The birthday ends, the holidays finish. Christmas Day, it's just 24 hours, like any other day. Even the most exciting things in life, they don't last forever, don't they? But then, what about, have you ever had a day that started really well, but then something went wrong? Something upset you, something broke, like we've thought about. The toys breaking, you got poorly, your football team lost. Life can be a bit like that, can't it? There are lots of happy moments, but there are also sad moments. Doesn't matter how old we are this morning. We might be 3 or 5 or 7 or 9, or we might be 30 or 50 or 70 or 90. We all know that our world isn't quite as it should be. There are happy moments, but there are also sad moments. So here is the biggest question of all. What if there was something wonderful to look forward to that would never end? Not just for a day or for a week or for a whole long summer, but forever. Do you think that sounds just a bit too good to be true? Because what we have read in the Bible together earlier tells us, well, it's not too good to be true. Even despite what we've known in our town this week, it's not too good to be true. It's not a dream. It's not a wish. It is a certain hope because God always keeps his promises. And it is an everlasting, it's a never-ending hope for everyone who trusts in Jesus. And so this morning, what I want us to do is to spend a few minutes looking at these verses we read from Revelation 21. And they give us that final answer to our question we've been thinking about every week, different questions. What does everlasting life hold for us? And I don't expect you to remember the answer that quickly, but the answer we said was that we will live with and enjoy God forever in the new heaven and the new earth, where we will be freed from all sin in a renewed, restored creation. And so I want to unpack that a little bit more to encourage us in this hope that is available to all of us from Revelation 21, 1 to 4. And I want to do that by highlighting three things. If you've got a sheet in front of you, there's three amazing things, three true things about heaven, about this hope that is ours in this life now, but also in the one to come when we trust in Jesus. But it makes a difference now. And so the first thing that that is true about the hope of heaven is that God will make everything new. God will make everything new. So let's read the start of verse 1 together. It's on the screen for us. Ready? Let's say it together. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. This introduces this vision of a renewed creation, which echoes what we read in the Old Testament, in the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 65, verse 17. 700-800 years or so before Jesus was born, God spoke of this promise of hope, of God creating a new heaven and a new earth. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. And that is so similar, isn't it, to what we've got here in Revelation. Here in the very last book of the Bible, this thought of a new heavens, a new earth, is being spoken of again. It's total transformation. It speaks of a renewing of the current creation, which will be free from everything bad and everything sad caused by sin. This is the hope that is found throughout the Bible. It is amazing. There is this future hope where God will restore and redeem his creation. God made this world. And he won't totally destroy it and start again. If he did that, that would kind of suggest that maybe evil had won. And God would have to do away with this earth altogether. But no, God is greater. He's greater than all things, and that includes evil. And if you're a bit younger, you're doing some colouring at the moment, or you enjoy doing colouring at home, grown-ups are allowed to do that. Or if you're a bit older and you remember colouring when you were younger, wouldn't it be really sad if you spent a long time colouring something and you were having a drink and you spilt your drink on it and it went all over your colouring? It would be spoiled beyond repair. It went soggy and all the colours blurred together and you'd need to start again with a brand new page. Well, we sometimes have to do that, but God doesn't work like that. He doesn't do that with what he has made. He doesn't go to plan B. He instead will give us a wonderful new creation where everything is exactly as he intended it to be. So let's remind ourselves of that again, shall we? From this verse, let's say it all together.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away.
So this isn't talking about replacement. It's talking about renewal, something that is going to lead to a perfect state. And Jesus' disciple Peter, he writes a letter in 2 Peter 3, and he writes of this expectation that God is going to keep his promise. There's going to be a new heaven, there's going to be a new earth, Peter says, where righteousness dwells. And by that, Peter means there's going to be a place that is perfect, a place where there is absolute goodness and purity, and all that is right is known and enjoyed. And that will be because God will make everything new. That is really good news this morning, friends. The world we live in now is full of sin. It is full of suffering. But the hope we have is that God will make everything new. There won't be anything bad. There won't be anything sad. Everything will be perfect and good. This helps us understand that the future that waits for all who trust in Jesus, it's not people floating about and sitting on clouds. God is making a new creation. Just as he made the world in the beginning, he will make it new again. This new heavens and new earth, we will walk along it and enjoy it. It'll be like taking an old building and renovating and redecorating it. You can see on the screen behind you, to make something livable again. On the one hand, there's the first picture. It's a damaged house. It's an old house. It needs to be done up. It is broken. And that is what our world looks like now. The structure is still there. It's not been flattened. There's still something there, what God has made. But it's not what it was. It's been broken. But the future hope God promises us is something that is beautifully restored. God doesn't give up on his creation, but he makes it new. So God will make everything new. That's number one, about this eternal hope. Number two is the best thing about heaven is God. The best thing about heaven is God. And that is in verse 3, if you've got your Bible in front of you. But let's read this part of verse 3 together. It says this:
Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them.
Do you notice the most important thing here is not the golden streets. It's not the beauty of the new earth. It's not even seeing loved ones that have trusted in Jesus and are already there. But the greatest thing is God himself. Now, from the beginning of the Bible, back in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis, God's desire was to dwell with his people. But sin separates us from him. And so Adam sins and all of us fall with him. He was representing us, and he decided to go his own way, not God's way. And we've all done the same since. We all disobey. We all go our own way. We do what we think is best. Instead of listening to God, instead of obeying him, and instead of doing what he knows is best for us, we think we know better. And that's the biggest issue all of us face, friends. We find ourselves cut off from God, separated from him, because we've gone our own way. But throughout the Bible, we read that God has in some way or another dwelled with his people. Whether it was his presence in the tabernacle, as the Israelites wandered through the wilderness for 40 years, or later in the temple at Jerusalem. But in all those instances, we couldn't just approach God however we wanted, because there was a problem, and that was our sin. God said that because of our sin, we couldn't come in. We couldn't come into his presence. But God did something about that, because then in a far greater way, God came down. God dwelled with his people when he took on flesh and he lived among us in the person of the Lord Jesus when he was born as a baby in Bethlehem. And so this promise of verse 3 here reminds us of this return to a close relationship between God and his people. It assures us of God's eternal presence. It fulfills the promise of Isaiah that a son will be born and we'll call him Emmanuel, which means that God is with us. This was all fulfilled in Jesus, who through his life and through his death and through his resurrection from the dead opened a new and living way into the presence of God. And that meant that when we then believe in Jesus, the best thing about heaven is that we will be present with Him forever. We will be with our God. That's an encouragement if you're a Christian this morning, isn't it? We'll be with Him in a way that simply isn't possible in this life because of what this verse says. Let's say it together. Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. That is amazing, isn't it, Christian? That is the best thing about heaven. As we said in answer to our question earlier, we will live with and enjoy God forever. So imagine you're invited to your best friend's birthday, and there's going to be balloons, and there's going to be cake, and there's going to be chocolate, and there's going to be all kinds of party snacks, and there's going to be a bouncy castle, and there's going to be pasta parcel, and there's going to be loads of games and party hats. It all sounds really fun, doesn't it? But what if your best friend wasn't there? Would it be the same? It wouldn't, would it? All those things, the games, the cake, the bouncy castle, they're all nice things. But you're not there for them, really. You're there for your best friend. And if they weren't there, well, there wouldn't be much point to the party, would there, in the first place? Well, that's a little bit like what I'm trying to say to you here. The best thing about heaven is God. He's the best thing. The new heavens, the new earth will be wonderful because God is there. We are His and He is ours. This will be the fulfillment of God's great rescue plan. We will be free from sin. There will be nothing that separates us from Him. He will be our God and we will be His people. So, number one, God will make everything new. Number two, the best thing about heaven is God. And then number three, the third thing I want to say about the hope of heaven is that God will remove every sad thing. God will remove every sad thing. Let's read verse 4 together on the screen. Ready? He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Isn't that amazing? That God will remove every sad thing. We've all known sad things in our lives, no matter how young or old we are, but God will remove every sad thing. This shows us how caring God is. It speaks of His compassion. He is a loving God, and He will bring an end to sorrow and sadness. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. That is so sad, and it hurts us so much. And yet that will be no more. This, friends, is central to our hope. The hope of eternal life, where all who have their faith in Jesus will experience and enjoy unending fellowship with God. There'll be no crying or mourning or pain. It will pass away. Those experiences of suffering and loss, they are consequences of the fall of Adam, like I mentioned, whether it's because we live in the fallen creation, whether it's our own human sinfulness. And we've tragically seen that in our community this week, haven't we? The brokenness, the sadness in our world. But here there is a promise that these sad things will stop and they will be no more as a result of the new creation, where the effects of sin are done away with. God will wipe away every tear. We all understand tears, don't we? Some of us have shed tears this week, I'm sure. But a day is coming when there will be no more tears, because there will be no more death or pain or sadness. And you see what it says here? It says God Himself will wipe away the tears, because not because he makes us into robots. It's not because we just pretend that those things don't exist. But He wipes away our tears because Jesus has defeated sin forever. Again, in our question earlier, we gave the answer that heaven is a place where we will all be freed from all sin. Just imagine that. Imagine that in your mind's eye. The future hope of heaven is a place where there's no bullying, there's no hospitals, there's no funerals, there's no guilt, there's no fear, there's no sin in the world or in here in our hearts. There will only ever always be joy because we'll be with Jesus forever. Now, on a day like today, this illustration feels like a long way away. But in the middle of winter, the natural world can look a little bit lifeless, can't it? You look at the trees over the park, and right now they're full of green leaves. But in the autumn, the leaves fall off, and by winter time, the trees look lifeless. There's no leaves, and the days are dark, and they're cold, and they're often wet. And if you only ever lived in winter, well, you might think, these trees are dead forever. There's no life in them. If you've read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, that's the condition that Narnia is in for quite a while. It's always winter. It's never Christmas. But then when spring comes, what happens? What happens when spring comes? The trees begin to change, and there are buds, and there are new leaves that start to grow, and flowers bloom, and it all looks very different to how it had just a couple of months before. And life can feel a bit like that, can't it? We can experience hard things in this life, and when we are struggling, it can feel a bit like a long winter. And yet, in the hope of heaven, we have the promise of an eternal spring. The sadness we might be experiencing now, and it's very real, and we don't deny it, but that is not the end of the story. Human kings, whether ancient or modern, they don't normally wipe away the tears of ordinary people in the country, do they? That's a very intimate thing to do. It's a sign of love and care. It's not something King Charles has ever come round to my house and done for me. If he's done it for you, you can tell me after. But the creator of the universe, the one living and true God, stoops down to comfort his people in this life, and he will do it for all eternity. That's because of what this verse says. Let's say it together. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. It's a wonderful picture that captures both God's loving care and the certainty that every source of grief has been dealt with in and through the Lord Jesus. And that's the point I've got to stress, friends, this morning. This is absolutely fundamental. It's so important. It's vital. Everything I've said this morning, that God will make everything new, number one, that God will be present with us, number two, and number three, that God will remove every sad thing, this eternal hope of heaven, is only because Jesus is the way to heaven. He's the way and the truth and the life. You cannot come to the Father except through him. So if your faith is not in Jesus this morning, then you don't have this hope. At least you don't have this hope yet. Because heaven is the eternal home of all believers in Jesus. That he is God in the flesh, who 2,000 years ago came into this world at the first Christmas, lived a spotless, blameless life, and he died on a cross outside Jerusalem in the place of people just like you and me for all the wrong and all the shortcomings and failings we've committed, and he rose again from the dead, conquering death, proving it was the end of sin and that life could be enjoyed forevermore. Well, did you believe that this morning, friends? You believe that sin has been conquered, that death isn't the end? Your faith in Jesus alone for the forgiveness of your sins? If it's not, then you haven't got this hope of heaven. You will not be there. You will not experience this because you've rejected the only one who can guarantee your entry into heaven itself, into the new heavens and into the new earth. And his name is Jesus. Jesus died to deal with our sin on the cross. He has triumphed over death. He's alive this morning. He's gone back to heaven. He's ascended. He's at the right hand of the Father in the place of authority. And one day, Jesus is going to return to make all things new. If you want this hope today, friends, then you need to turn to Jesus. You need to commit yourself to him. You need to rely on him for all that you need. You need to find rest in your soul as you rely on him. And when you do, you will find a hope that stands through even the hardest of times. And the thing about Christian hope is this, that those of us who are Christians here this morning, we're believing in Jesus, we're not simply hoping things will get better. No, we're certain because we trust God's promises that he will complete his work. He's come once to rescue us. He came into this world the first time, and he's going to come again. He's going to come a second time to judge and to make all things new. So when you are sad, as you will be inevitably in life, remember that through faith in Jesus, he promises us a world without tears, When you see things are broken, as we have in our town this week, they're not as they should be. Well, remember, He will make everything new. So keep on trusting in Jesus, even when life is really hard, won't you? Live as people of hope. He's with us. He will keep us. He'll bring us safely home. He'll hold us fast as we've sung. That's good news, isn't it? That's good news. Nobody knows what a day will bring, and yet we have this hope that is better than the worst things in this life. And if you know this to be true, if you believe this with all your heart, if your faith is in Jesus, then I really encourage you to share this hope with others this week. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell your colleagues about this hope you have in Jesus. Because we all need hope, don't we? We all want hope. And this is something we have in Jesus, that through faith in Him, we can enjoy the forever hope of heaven, where God will make everything new. God will be there, and God will remove every sad thing. Well, if you're not trusting in Jesus today, friend, then why not make today the day where you simply come to Him? You might be younger, and your parents bring you to church, and that's great. It's so good you're here. This is the best place for you to be. We love to see you every week. But you can't rely on your mum and dad believing in Jesus. You've got to believe in Jesus as well. You need to trust in Him, just like your parents do. Or you might be older. You might have come to church for most of your life. Maybe your parents did go to church too, before you did. And you're a decent, law-abiding citizen. But you can't rely on that. You can't rely on what you've done. You can't rely on your past. You can't rely on what you're doing now to have this eternal hope. You need to believe in Jesus. You need to trust in Him. So I encourage you to do that today. Trust in Him. And so we're going to pray now. And as I pray, you can pray with me. You can pray in your heart. And you can trust in Jesus too, that you would know this eternal hope now and forever. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for the truth You speak to us in the Bible. Thank You we can have a wonderful hope forever when we trust in Jesus. Thank You for the certainty of heaven for all who believe in Jesus. And we pray You'd help us all to do that today. We admit we don't deserve the hope of heaven. We recognize we don't live the way You've made us. But we pray You'd help us to turn to Jesus in faith, believing that He has died on the cross and risen again for me, personally. And that because of Him, we will enjoy eternal life and have this hope that will never end. Encourage us in this. Help us to tell others about this hope we have too. In Jesus' name, amen.